Thank you. Please be seated. The passage of scripture that we're going to be looking in and drawing from this day is Psalm 63. So if you can find that even now in your Bibles or on your electronic devices, that would be great. As we look at this passage of scripture, it's going to be a passage of scripture that we're going to address over the course of several weeks. And so I would like you to be thinking, meditating on this portion, even over well nigh the month, as we look into this new year of 2016 and what God would have for us. One of the great objectives of leadership is to have a vision, have a goal of what will happen in the new year. And this morning, as you've looked at your bulletins this morning, you've probably no doubt noticed that we have a new theme picture on the front of our bulletin cover, and also that we've continued to have our mission statement there on the front of our bulletin. And really that contains for us our vision, our mission for us as an English congregation. So as we as pastors, as we as deacons and elders look at our church and look at this new year of 2016, we want to, again, re-clarify for ourselves what we're all about. And so this morning, I would have you read along with me this mission statement that's printed on your bulletin, also printed on the PowerPoint. You're getting it from all directions. So let's read this mission statement together. We are an English-speaking, multicultural congregation of worshiping, discipling, loving, caring, and mission-minded believers under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So as leaders and as pastors in our church, we're wanting to encourage our whole church in way of what God's mission is. And this indeed is God's mission for us in this new year of 2016. It's a statement that I believe glows with God's glory. I believe it's a statement that is really in accordance with God's heart. And there's no other heart, I believe, that is so typified as one that follows God as the psalmist David. There's a word in the book of Acts 13:22, that says, God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. A man after my own heart. And certainly in 2016, we would be those kind of men. We would be those kind of women that would have as our theme a heart after God. And so as we reflect on this, our theme in this new year is to be a family, to be concerned about our family. And really, if we are to be concerned about our family needs to be directed towards God and to have a heart for God. If we are really to be a family of God, we have to have a heart after God's own heart in this year of 2016. Bar nothing else, if we fail at everything, we cannot fail at this, that we have God's own heart in mind and focus in this year. And so as we look at this psalm, Psalm 63, I believe there's a lot of other psalms that typify God's heart and David's heart after God. But I believe this psalm really typifies a time of crisis in David's own life. And I think strongly David was a man that went through various crises, one after the other. And as he comes to this point in his life, it's thought by some commentators that it could be the time when he's being chased around the desert by Saul, or it could be his son of Solomon who was after him and he found himself out in the desert. But the reality is that he is running, he's fleeing, he's in crisis, and he's in a wilderness. He's in a desert place where it's very dry, it's very arid, and so he's crying out to God in way of a metaphor of earnestness and speaking and seeking God in a parched land. And so as I look at the theme, as I think of God, make me a blessing to your family, there's no greater blessing than the devotion that we might have towards God. And so I read this psalm to you this morning, Psalm 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied, as with the richest of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the grave. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. This is Psalm 63 that, again, we want to consider, meditate on over the course of perhaps this next month or so as we focus in on how we can be a blessing to our family. Chasing a mirage is something that not many of us have done. I know I haven't been in a desert climate like Saudi Arabia or anything like that. The closest I've come to a desert-like condition might be down in Oregon, you know, where they have those dune buggies and stuff on the coast. I've never done that. We went down there. We were all anxious as a family that we could get there, but we got a little later in the day. I think it was about 3 o'clock that we got there and saw the signage, you know, come in and do the dune buggy thing. And we came and they said, I'm sorry, you know, we're closing down for the day. And we were like, ah, you know, just missed it. But we climbed around in the sand and had fun running up and down the dunes there on the Oregon coast. And it was just a beautiful scenery. But I'd never experienced just the heat that a desert can lavish and beat upon your body and your person. But Keith Price tells a story in his book talking about a platoon that was caught in the desert in Egypt. And that Egyptian sun can be so hot and so intense. And this platoon was traveling across the desert during World War II. And as they were marching across the desert, they were feeling delirious, and their canteens were dry as a bone. There was not a drop of liquid within any of the soldiers' canteen, yet they kept marching across this desert. And they had a guy that was directing them, and he was saying, you know, it's just another couple miles, guys, just another couple miles. And as they were trudging along, their minds, of course, were turning over those crystal clear liquid thoughts of liquid and H2O and water and anything that had any moisture in it was just gleaming before their eyes, and they were thinking desirously after that water. And as they were trudging along and that sun was burning down upon them, one of the soldiers kind of looked off in the distance. And then the distance and the heat, you know how the heat kind of ripples in the horizon? He looked and he said, I think I see water. And one of the soldiers beside him, where? Where? And he said, over there. Can you see? Can you see? And he looked, and just in the haze, yeah, it looked like a lake. And of course, the guide said, don't look at it. You guys don't look at it. It's a mirage. And they said, what's a mirage? I see the lake. And of course, their senses were so overtaken by the vision of that lake glistening in the distance. And of course, the guide was trying to guide them in the opposite direction. And the soldiers are just, no, I'm sorry. We're going to have to follow and go to this lake. It was a couple miles, they believed, off in the distance, the opposite direction they were supposed to be going. And so the whole platoon turned and started going after this lake. And as they approached the lake, it seemed to get smaller and smaller until they seemed to be where it was supposed to be, but when they stood before it, it had vanished before their eyes. It was no longer there. That whole platoon perished in the desert. The world is full of promises of quenched thirst and nourishment for our souls that turn out to be mirages. How is it that one's senses can be lied to so dramatically in our day, and we can be so captivated by false hopes? There are many who believe that in the believing, there is satisfaction. There are those who believe that perhaps the mirage might not be true today, but if you just give it enough time, it'll take on the form of reality, and it will be real. Think over your own life. Think of those times when you've longed to be satisfied. You had a dream, you had a vision of the future and what that could hold. And you started marching towards it. But as you got closer and closer, it seemed to warp and woof and change and all of a sudden disappear before your eyes. You were tricked. The right and the good had disappeared. And instead, there was darkness. There was confusion. There was a lie. Often for us, in our church, in our world today, we take on the place of a mirage. People look at the church and say, I don't believe what's happening there is real. There's something that is ephemeral that they talk about God and about spirituality. It's not tangible. It's not something that you can touch. And so they pass by Christianity. Sometimes even within the church, we lose step. And we feel that we are living according to the Christian credo. And we move the furniture around and place things in certain places and follow the religious patterns of what the church says is supposed to be happening and the reality thereof in way of the spiritual life. But we think of it as a mirage ourselves. Psalm 63 has David longing after God, a longing that is in earnest, a longing that is desiring to see and to know God, not just his own beliefs, not his own religion. He wants God in his life. Only God himself can prove that reality. Well, how do we make it real? How do we make it real in our lives? A.W. Tozer's book, The Pursuit of God, he has in the preface a critique of the church, and this is what he says. Few saints are looking for the cloud the size of a man's hand, referencing to Elijah's prayer and how he prayed for rain and sent his servant off in the distance to see if there was indeed a cloud coming. And the servant went not once, not twice, but several times to see if indeed a cloud was coming. And then he came back to Elijah and said, "Indeed, master, there is a cloud arising off the lake, and it's the size of a man's hand." Looking for God's answer. He says also here, Tozer speaking, "The wonder has fled, and the church of God in our day." The wonder has fled, and the church is without God in our day. Current evangelicalism has laid the altar and divided the sacrifices into parts, but now seems satisfied to count the stones and rearrange the pieces with never a care that there is a fire from on top of lofty Carmel. There are few that care and that deem it necessary that they see the fire of God, that they see the answer to their prayers. They just want the trappings of religion. They just want the fact that they can come securely to the church on Sunday morning and sit in a comfortable pew. They don't want to experience Him or truly know Him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." With all your heart. The truth of the matter is that we are so concerned with our own sense of successes and happiness and fulfillment that we don't think of our spirituality as worth the effort and the angst of heart to truly seek after God in earnest. To make it real, we have to disown the mirages we are so prone to chase after in our lives. Keith Price has a few of these listed. First, he talks about the mirage of pleasure. The mirage of pleasure. Directly seeking our own pleasure or happiness never works. Directly, head on, seeking after pleasure. And our society is rife with it. It just doesn't work. Pleasure and fulfillment in life comes not as a direct pursuit, but rather as a byproduct in our lives. We might think we can drown our troubles through entertainment, through seeking some pleasure in our heart, in our life. But we often find that in trying to drown our troubles and our anxieties and our fears with pleasure and things like that, we find that often they just float down the river a little further and then they pop up back in our life more bloated and bigger than they were before. Troubles don't get dealt with and don't get submerged in our life through seeking after pleasure or entertainment. The mirage of power is widespread and it boasts lofty heights in our day. But the higher you climb, the higher you must go. The more power you assume, the more power drains are attached to you. It seems that the more you get up there, the more it feels like you've got to climb higher and higher. And the more people attach themselves to you in way of draining your strength and your energies. The mirage of possessions. The more you get, the more you have to maintain. The more you have, the more you will eventually have to leave. Getting fills more space and time on our already exponential basis of our lives in which is continually filling our hearts and our minds today. The mirage of scenario. When success eludes us, the easiest blame falls on the externals around us. It's because of that person that I'm not successful or I haven't achieved. It's easier to blame something outside of ourselves than to look at ourselves and wonder what I've been doing wrong. We only make it real when we see our mirages for what they really are and begin listening to God as our true guide and following after God's direction and His Word and His Spirit. Thirdly and lastly, signs of the times. There are signs to determine in our pursuit of our time is really that of a mirage or that of a crystal clear water. Is this real or is it unreal? Truth and a lie, good and bad, light and dark, seem like worlds set apart in our understanding. How is it that we get so lost in determining what truly is the right and the good? We simply misread the signs, isn't that true? We misread the signs and so evaluate those things that are false as truly being true, and vice versa. To the degree we misinterpret the signs, the further we get from God's living, life-giving pools of water. God's ultimate purpose is the establishment of His kingdom within our hearts and our lives, within the life of the church. Wherever God reigns in the world and in people's hearts, the kingdom reigns and transforms our lives and reflects His glory. When His kingdom is reigning in people's hearts and lives, or in the systems, it will be marked by five signs, as seen in Isaiah 35. I hope that rings a bell for you, because I preached on Isaiah 35 in the Advent season, in December. If you turn in your Bibles back to, to Psalm or Isaiah 35, it talks about a desert that's parched and that the land will be glad and the wilderness will rejoice and blossom. So the first thing we see there as a sign is beauty. Beauty is one of the great signs that God's kingdom is there working within the life and the heart of an individual. I'm not talking about external beauty. I'm talking about inner character. A beauty that comes and just flows out of a person's life because they know God. Secondly, there is strength in verse 3 and 4. It goes on, and strengthen these feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Courage and boldness are found because God gives strength. God gives enablement. When you see beauty, when you see strength in a person's life, it's usually beyond a strength that they themselves possess. There's a courage, there's a determination in their heart and their eyes, in the clench of their jaw, that is beyond their own strength. A sign that God is working in their heart, in their life. Thirdly, there will be miracles in verse 5 and 6. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. God is a healer inside and out. We have that as one of our mottos of the Alliance, that Christ is healer. We're seeking God's miracles within our lives, transformation. We know that this life is not our full goal, but this life of needing God's healing and activity in our lives is far beyond the natural. It has to be miraculous. We see things that are miraculous in our midst. We see signs of God's presence are amongst us and in our lives. We point here, we point there, saying, yeah, there's God's work in that person's life, in my life. Fourthly, there will be holiness, verse 8 and 9. And on a highway will be there. It will be called a way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on the way. The unclean will not journey on it, Wickedness, wicked fools will not go about on it. No line will be there, on the verse goes. A direction towards holiness and righteousness amongst God's people. A desire after that. When you see that, that's a sure sign that God is working within us and amongst us. That it's not a mirage. Fifthly, there will be rejoicing in verse 10. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. There is indeed an ultimate joy that we will experience. And as we suffer, God says that we will suffer in way of the travail of laying the spiritual ground roots in our lives to accomplish His purposes. And that's difficult, but that suffering and that difficulty has an ultimate joy that we look forward to, an accomplishment. It's like you're studying and you're looking towards getting that degree. You're pursuing it with all your heart. It's tough in the course of it. But you know that in completing your course, you'll be able to look back and say, I've really accomplished something. I've been able to do this. Isn't it amazing? Not everyone can, but I've been able to accomplish it. There is a rejoicing that comes in our lives because we're following hard after God. When these five signs are evident in our lives and the church's life, we can say, man, there's God there. God is present. I can see Him working. I hold out my hands. I receive a blessing and anointing from Him. There's a lot of mirages in our world today, isn't there? There's a lot that holds our attention, a lot that demands our desire to chase after them. But we find when we've chased after them, they seem to get smaller and smaller. And their great promise that they held out for satisfaction and a quenching of our thirst turns out to be nothing but sand. Nothing but lack. God wants to say to your hearts in this year of 2016 that you need to seek the living water of God. Not just the appearances of things, not just coming to church and sitting in a pew and opening your Bible, but really seeking God earnestly. Really seeking to know Him. To experience Him in your hearts and your lives. Don't be just satisfied with coming and opening your Bible and hearing some guy come up and preach to you. Don't be satisfied with that. Psalm 63 says, be earnest about knowing and experiencing God. The signs are before you. Are you seeing them? Are you desiring them for your own heart and your life? I dare say if you leave this congregation each Sunday after Sunday in this year of 2016 without experiencing and knowing God, then you haven't been looking for the signs and holding out your hands and desiring and looking for God. You've just become content with yet another religious mirage. And you yourself will become a mirage. You won't become real in way of what you stand upon the truth of your beliefs of what Christ is and who He is for your heart and your life. Do you want to make it real during 2016? Do you want your spiritual thirst quenched in 2016. Become wholly dissatisfied with just coming and doing the right and proper thing and attending church and doing all the religious things. Those are avenues and opportunities to us to seek God. But we need to seek God, to earnestly desire Him with our full hearts. Don't be content with church niceties. Let's look for the fire of God upon the altar. Let's seek His face and be not content with arranging the religious furniture. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before You and we recognize here today that we ultimately need You in every aspect of our lives. We come before You and cry out to You. Quench our thirst, our spiritual need before You. Nothing else can quench our thirst like You can, Lord Jesus. So even come, fill us afresh anew this day and every day of this year of 2016. We pray this in Jesus' powerful name today. Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to invite our deacons and our elders and our pastors, if there be any pastors here amongst us. And we invite you up on the platform, and we're wanting to pray for you as a church. So come on down and stand on the platform for us, the church, to see you this morning. And we want to pray for you this morning. Pastor OB, come on down as well. Just because you're Korean, you can't get away. So let's stand together with our leaders this morning, and let's pray for them. Would you stretch out your hands towards them and pray for them this morning as I lead you? Lord Jesus, we come before You and we recognize these ones that are here in our midst that are seeking to follow Your Spirit's guidance, follow Your Word's guidance. Lord, we need more of Your Spirit. Elisha prayed for a double blessing, a double portion of that Spirit that rested on Elijah. We pray for that double portion upon Your people, Your leaders here in our church today. We pray, Lord, that You would be so evident, that the signs of Isaiah 35 would just be so evident to each of us here at Westwood. We wouldn't want people to waste their time of coming and being a part of Westwood unless Your Spirit be amongst us. Lord, send us not forward if Your Spirit does not go with us. Convict our hearts. Move us in such a way as we will know that we are following and being guided by Your Word, by Your truth, by Your Spirit. May these 5 signs be so evident in this year of 2016 as we come before You, as we pray, and as we journey together. Lord, may we not just, again, arrange the furniture. May we just not do those things that seem to be right and proper and according to the religious programming. But Lord, may we know that indeed Your Spirit has moved and touched and enabled. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' powerful name today. Amen. Please be seated. And I just want to, before you guys go and sit down, I just want to have you say something. If we could get a mic here, just say something about what you guys are doing, who you are, what your name is, and who you are, you know, in terms of roles in the church. So go ahead, just say your name, speak it out.
Well, I'm Robin. My wife is Batman over there, so I'm the, just kidding. Yeah. Robin Choi, I'm this year's new elder.
New elder. Thank you, Robin.
I feel old.
On to the next guy.
Morning, I'm Peter, and I regularly introduce new songs to you so that you can hate me more. That's what I do.
Okay.
Good morning. I'm Benjamin. My wife is Lily, sitting right on the third row in the center. I'm the general affairs deacon. I'm I'm the one to make sure your coffee is ready after the service.
Yeah, I'm Jimmy. I'm taking care of the small group ministry. So whoever is not in a small group, you can always come and see me.
Good morning. My name is Mason, and I do the Christian Education Department.
Hi, my name is Stella Wong. I work in the underground church, working with the children.
I'm Larry Savage, and I'm the old elder here. So.
The older elder.
Hi, my name is Obadiah. You guys call me just Obi. So I'm leading Korean small group in this church. Also, when you're around any non-Korean peoples, please bring to our churches. Thank you very much. God bless you. 감사합니다.
Okay, my name is May, and I am helping Stella. We work together, underground church, involved with lots of child labor. And most important of all, we build foundation.
Okay. Also, you might not be aware, but Larry is celebrating the Golden 5-0 in way of his anniversary this next week, 6 or something, Friday. So he really is the elder amongst the, no. Blessings, Larry, and to you, Susan, as well. Such a pleasure to have you guys, folks, with us. So these here are your elders, your deacons. Continue to remember them in prayer. We want to continue to support them and bless them and their families. And thank them so much. I've also had word that Jimmy is planning to step down from his position as our small group leader and as our caring coordinator. So we're going to be looking for and praying for someone else to step up to that position as well. We have so many needs in our church, actually. We have somebody that has donated various pieces of furniture, yet we have no place to store them in way of our Syrian refugee situation. So maybe you have some place that you can think of that has some open and available storage facility that we could store some furnishings. This is almost a whole apartment worth of furnishings. Someone else has told me they've got some appliances they're willing to donate to our Syrian situation. So we just need places to put it. So if you know of somebody or have some space that's available, please come and talk to myself in regards to that. Also, we've had a family that said, you know, we might be looking at moving away for a period of maybe a year, and we might want to allow one of those Syrian families to come and stay in our house for that year. We're praying about that. So a very generous offer on the part of a family here in our midst, in a multicultural side. So some great things are happening in way of trying to extradite Syrians out of a very difficult situation. We did have some setbacks over the course of this past week. The Syrian family that we were looking to bring over here initially, a dentist and his wife and 3 kids, has said that he now doesn't want to come. But there's also another Syrian family that's waiting in the wings as well, a 5-person family that is interested in coming, and we're just trying to, again, connect with them and trying to see what we can to bring them over. So continue to pray for this situation. Continue to pray for all of us in leadership here at Westwood. It does take a lot of extra time and energy and sacrifice on their part. So do continue to be in prayer for us. Thank you for coming up and being a part and part of our leadership. Let's give them a round of applause again. Please have a seat. Okay, and since we're running out of time here. Let's stand and receive the benediction this morning. And we're going to waylay our worship team and not have the closing song because I took so long thanking all of our deacons and elders. Okay, so let's receive God's blessings on us today. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Amen. Please be seated.